Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome to the Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Dennis Ackman. Pleased to be joined by former Raider great Stanford Rapp. Stan, how we doing?
Pretty good, man. We're 3-3 right now. Looking to get a W this week against the Chicago Bears. Hopefully 4-3 by the end of this week.
As you mentioned, the Raiders head to Chicago on Sunday to take on the Bears. The Silver and Black have a wonderful opportunity to make it 3 in a row. Once again, though, the Raiders will be without starting quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Stan, let me begin by asking you, the Raiders are 3-3. They've won 2 in a row. How good is this team right now, do you think?
I would still go and say they're exactly what their record says they are. They are 3-3. So they're a 500 team. They're average, mediocre. They're not great. They're not horrible. They're right there in the middle. So that's pretty much, I think many people would agree with me when I say this. At the 6-game mark, a lot of people did not expect the Raiders to be 500. 1-5, 2-4, something like that. So that's a step up. That's an accomplishment. That's something to give you a minimal amount of optimism for, even though those wins obviously were against who? The Patriots, the Packers, you know, Broncos. The Broncos. So definitely they're not out there beating juggernauts. But like I said, imagine if they were 0-6. I feel like the sky was falling out. So when you ask that question, what are they? I would just say they're exactly what the record says they are. They're 500 ball club. They're average.
Yeah, Stan, those wins have come against, like you said, the Broncos, Packers, Patriots. They've combined for 4 wins. But look, at Stan, parity rules right now in the NFL. I mean, I looked this up. The Raiders are one of 17 teams who have either 2 wins or 3 wins. We know there's no more undefeateds. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers are the only winless team right now. So, look, I mean, if you're 2 wins, 3 wins, you're right in the thick of things. I mean, I know we've got a long ways to go in this season, but, Stan, I got to believe 9 wins in either the AFC or NFC is getting you in to the playoffs this year. 9-8, I would think, would get you in with everybody just bunched up together for the most part.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assessment, or should I say prediction. I think that when you really look right now, what are the Texans? They're 3-3. Rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud is actually playing pretty well, exceeding a lot of people's expectations that they had of him throughout the first month and a half of the season. And you look at the Detroit Lions, they're 5-1. Obviously, they're a good ball club. Everybody knows that. But are they really a contender? You know, and I think that when you just go across the board from AFC through the NFC, that it's still too early to really tell who is who, because the Cincinnati Bengals, they stumbled out the gate. Mm-hmm. They've kind of caught their footing. You know, they beat the Cardinals. They beat the Seahawks. Obviously, the Seahawks are a pretty good team. They're not great, but the Seahawks are a good team. And you look at the 49ers. They lose to the Deshaun Watson-less Cleveland Browns. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles losing to Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. You look at the Dallas Cowboys getting blasted by the Arizona Cardinals. You know, so I think that when you just so far early on in the season, I think it's tough to really assess who's good, who's not. I think that once you get to Thanksgiving, that's when teams start to separate themselves as far as, okay, you know what? I know they're good. I know they're bad. Right now, I think it's still too early to tell. I think the season is still too premature because we still have not hit the halfway point.
Right. Any given Sunday, anybody can knock off anybody, and we've learned that through the first 6 weeks of the season. All right, let's get our sponsorship read in, and then we'll get to Jimmy G and who should be quarterbacking the Raiders against the Bears. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for the baseball playoffs, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. I think I've read that so many times I could do it in my sleep, but I still can't. I still got to read it. All right, Stan, we talked about it earlier. No Jimmy G on Sunday, though, so that means either the rookie Aiden O'Connell, who started against the Chargers in week 3, or they go to the veteran backup Brian Hoyer, who came on the second half on Sunday and led the offense to 2 field goals. So, Stan, if you're coaching the Raiders, who's your starting quarterback on Sunday in Chicago?
Oh, man, I feel like you got to go with Aiden O'Connell. I feel like, you know, right now, the Raiders are they're kind of like at a crossroads, and you got to ask yourself, do you really want to build for the future, or do you just want to go ahead and tread water right now? And I think you know what you already have within Hoyer. He's been more of a journeyman all throughout his career. He knows the system. He's been around Josh McDaniels for a long time, but you know what he is. You know what you're getting with him. With Aiden O'Connell, he's a young guy. Who knows? He may turn out to be a young phenom if you just simply give him the opportunity, put him in there, not have him worrying about, is he going to be pulled? Is somebody else going to come in to spell him? Things like that. So I'm at a point right now, especially with this Raiders roster, and we know that the Raiders defense is not a juggernaut. They played pretty well over the last couple of weeks, but it's been against Mac Jones, Jordan Love, not exactly Pat Mahomes or Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson. So that's why I feel like let's roll the dice. Let's see what you got with him, because I think you would agree with me on this. Maybe 9-8, maybe just maybe slipping in the playoffs in the seventh seed. But the Raiders are not contending with the Chiefs. They're not contending with the Bills. We saw that in week two. They're not contending with the Bengals of the world or even the Dolphins. So that's why I'm of the mindset, let's go ahead and try to see what we have this season. That way we know if we can just simply go ahead and part ways with Jimmy G after the year is over with, be in line to start looking to draft a quarterback high in next year's draft, or just simply go out and go to war with Aiden O'Connell going forward.
All right, Seth, I'm going to disagree with you just for this reason. If the Raiders were 1-5, I'd be like, you know what, this is a lost season. And you're right. Let's see what we got in Aiden O'Connell. Let's see if he could perhaps be the Raiders quarterback of the future. Or you know what? We got to go find somebody in the draft. It's not Aiden O'Connell, and it's not Jimmy G. We, like you said, we know what Brian Hoyer is. I think he's at this point maybe a game. Let's call him a game manager. Is that fair? Say he's a game manager?
Yeah. That's pretty fair.
Okay, so the Raiders are 3-3. If they can get a win in Chicago, they are favored. I think they can do it. The following week is at Detroit. That's more than likely a loss, Dan. So, okay, let's just say that puts them at 4-4, okay? Yeah. Then the next 2 weeks is the Giants and the Jets at home. I can't remember what the order is, but those are two winnable games also, Stan. So now,
yeah,
you could be looking at 6-4. So I don't quite know what I have in Aiden O'Connell on Sunday. I mean, he played well against the Chargers, but he also turned it over three times, which led to 14 points for the Chargers. He also had the pick at the goal line, which would have tied the game. So look, if it was a long stretch, if we knew Jimmy G was going to be out 3-4 games, sitting, I'm with you. I'd be like, let's roll the dice with Aiden O'Connell. Hopefully it's just one game. And I say go Brian Hoyer, because you know what you got. I'm sure this is going to be a low scoring game, somewhere around 17-14, maybe 16-13, that the Raiders can squeak out. So that's what I would just go Brian Hoyer for this week.
I get it. And, you know, now that I really sit and I actually examine the schedule, the Bears, that's a win, or that can be a win.
Right.
The Lions, I'm probably going to do it now. The Giants and the Jets.
Right.
I remember a couple years ago, they went to the Meadowlands. I'm sorry, they went to MetLife Stadium and lost to the Giants, a game that they shouldn't have lost to. And then we got the Jets, Zach Wilson, obviously a good defense. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? And then you got the Dolphins going into the Thanksgiving part of the month in November. And Al Davis said, just win, baby. And he believes in speed kills. Man, Miami has a lot of speed.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Devon Achane will probably be back by then. So, you know, that's going to be a very tough game. Then the Chiefs, they have the same amount of team speed as the Miami Dolphins. And then you look at the Minnesota Vikings, they might be tanking it, getting ready to go ahead and just rebuild all the way by then. The Chargers, that's always going to be a tough one. The Chiefs again, the Colts, and then you finish up with the Broncos. So I get what you're saying. I get it. Right. And that's why there's a part of me that, yeah, you know, let go ahead and just go with Hoyer. But something about the Raiders that I've come to experience over the last several years is that they can easily beat Chicago. Doesn't mean they will. They can go out there, lay an egg out there in the Windy City. They're going to be going now, what is it, two time zones over. You know how that is. Kickoff is going to be at 12 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Vegas time. And the Raiders do not usually travel east well. They don't. That's what makes me nervous. So, yeah, I get it. From the layout of the schedule, yeah, you could go with Brian Hoyer and you could wind up being 9-8. And I think 9-8 will probably get you into the playoffs. So I trust me, I definitely understand what you're saying. And now that I examine the schedule intuitively, I'm almost ready to lean your direction.
Yeah, we'll see. The crazy thing also is, Dan, that the Raiders' longest pass play of the year was Hoyer last Sunday to the rookie Trey Tucker for 48 yards. Yes. Well, look, Stan, who's ever quarterback on the Raiders on Sunday, they got to get the ball to Devontae Adams. I mean, the last 2 weeks, Adams, I'm looking at these numbers, he's targeted just 9 times, 6 catches for 74 yards. Stan, he should be doing that in the first half alone. I mean, you look at the first 4 games of the year, he was targeted 50 times at 29 catches. I mean, Stan, I think it's pretty obvious if the Raiders want to go out and finally get this offense on track, it starts with getting number 17 the ball.
Yes, you have to get him the ball. You have to go ahead and try to set up ways to get him the ball, whether it is a screen, whether it is the Jerry Rice route that many people called it, where you got the receiver who goes in motion, and as soon as he passes the tight end or the tackle on the end, he just runs that little quick out. It's, you know, good for about 2 to 3 yards. He used to run it a lot in Green Bay whenever they were near the end zone, which would be those touchdowns. And it's almost impossible for a corner to be able to run with you all the way across the ball to the other side of the offense and then be able to beat you to that spot right there before you get to the pylon, or just like I said, swing passes, or just simply get the ball from center and then throw it outside right now. Let him go ahead, get the ball in his hands. For a lot of receivers, they need to get the ball early because that's what gets them in a rhythm. Same thing for quarterbacks. Now, just to go ahead, for anybody on the show that obviously watched the game against New England just a couple of days ago, I have to say this. Yes, obviously he had pedestrian numbers against the New England Patriots, but you got to give the New England Patriots a little bit of credit, because let's go ahead and remember, late in the first quarter, Jabril Peppers,
oh,
you remember that hit? And I'm talking about the ball went straight up in the air. So that was a catch that Devontae Adams had, and obviously Jabril Peppers puts his helmet on the ball, goes straight up in the air. Phenomenal play by him. Obviously, we know Devontae Adams is, even if you dislike him, the third best receiver in the NFL, so obviously no shade to him. But yes, I do think that they're going to have to make a point. They're going to have to make it a priority to try to get him involved early. That way he can be into a rhythm.
All right, Stan, put your defensive coordinator hat on for me. And the Bears are going to be without starting quarterback Justin Fields, who's out with a dislocated thumb on his throwing hand. So in his place, Stan, they're going to roll with a guy named Tyson Baggett, I believe is how he pronounces his last name. He's a rookie out of, and I've never even heard of this school, and I've heard of a lot of schools, Shepherd University. And his last start came in the Division II semifinals. It was a year ago against the Colorado School of Mines. He was 19 of 34, 165 yards, no touchdowns, a couple of picks, sacked 8 times, and his team lost by 30 points. And I also read his dad is a former arm wrestling champion, for what it's worth. So, Stan, we don't know anything about this guy. Hopefully the Raiders have seen a little bit of film when he came in and played last week against the Vikings. If you're Patrick Graham, how do you attack this guy?
Oh, obviously you got to confuse him. I would go ahead and I would blitz him. I would light him up. That way he has to get the ball out quick. He's got to process everything very, very quickly. I would never give him the same look twice. I would do my best to make sure that we go ahead and take advantage of his lack of experience, take advantage of the simple fact that he has not seen all of the defensive looks that one may have seen after being in the NFL for a certain number of years. You definitely got to take advantage of that. Try to get this W, because then you can be 4-3 going into the Detroit Lions game, which we know is going to be a very tough, tough game to try to win. So you want to try to stack up the games that you are favored to win. That way you can kind of pad yourself against those really tough divisional ones. I'm sorry, the tough games on your schedule. But I definitely would try to confuse him, try to light him up, speed up his clock. And then that way, hopefully you can go ahead and fall into some sacks and even some easy interceptions or turnovers.
Stan, do you just basically stack the box and dare the Bears to throw the ball? Do you just basically blitz from everywhere, like you said, to confuse him? Is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both. I think that for a lot of quarterbacks, and many have told me this, that if a team comes out showing man coverage, that's the easiest defense for them to pick apart, because if it's man coverage, I already know where I'm going with the ball before I even get the ball from center. So you want to try to confuse him. I'm thinking more along the lines of some simulators where you want to show like you're blitzing, but you're still only rushing four. And then you have one of the defensive linemen drop back into covers, things like that, where he has to actually survey the field. He has to survey exactly what's happening, be able to diagnose it. You want to have some zone blitzes, some zone dogs, some fire zone, things like that. You don't want to give him the same look twice. I think that if you come up and you just simply crowd the line of scrimmage, I get what you're saying from that perspective. But for a lot of quarterbacks, that's easy for them to dissect and decipher because, okay, they're running man coverage. Now I just simply got to put the ball where it needs to be. I got to be accurate. But when I see too high, when I see split safeties, and then all of a sudden I now go and do a play action fake. Well, I'm turning my back to the defense for a split second. Mm-hmm. When I now come back to survey the field could change. They now went from split safety to now single high. Well, now I got to go ahead and read that. I got to put that ball over the linebacker and under the safety, and I have to do that a multitude of times for us to move down the field successfully to score a touchdown. So you want to always make sure the quarterback has to process. That's the difference between the great quarterbacks and the good ones. You have to be able to process in nanoseconds by the time Max Crosby and the rest of those boys up front are coming. So that's why crowding the box, I understand it because you're forcing them to beat you with their arm. Mm-hmm. But it makes it easy to decipher what they're doing because everybody is crowded up to the line of scrimmage.
Well, I'm sure Max Crosby hopefully will be living in that backfield and pick up a couple sacks and some more tackles for loss. All right, Stan, one of our loyal listeners, Bill in Los Angeles, he wants to know why refereeing is so inconsistent. And I said it varies from crew to crew. You played this game for 8 years. You also coach University of Houston. I know college and pro are different, but go back to your playing day, Stan. What do you think? Is it because it varies from crew to crew? Is that why it's so inconsistent?
Because it's all based on perception. And at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, referees are what? Human.
Sure.
And everybody who's a human, I don't care who you are, everybody who's a human has their own certain level of bias. They have their own certain level of perception. They have their own certain level of partialness. And I remember years ago, I believe it was in 2008, back when I was with the Oakland Raiders, and it was a game. We had D'Angelo Hall and Nnamdi Asomugha were our starting corners. And I remember we were playing the Buffalo Bills out there at Orchard Park. And I remember our DB coach, Darren Perry, fantastic player for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a number of years, also a good coach. And I remember he told us before the game, he said, "Hey guys, listen, just want to let you guys know the referee, I think they call him the back judge or the side judge, whatever, who's really looking at the receivers and the DBs as far as their coverage." He told him, he said, "Hey guys, listen, he's a fan of both of you guys. He's going to let you play a little bit."
Oh, wow.
So he's going to give you a little bit of the tugging, a little bit of the grab. He's going to give you that a little bit because he's a fan of you two. You see what I'm trying to say? So yeah. Think about if you see a referee who's a fan of a certain receiver. He'll let that receiver get away with a little push off from time to time, things like that. And so I think for a lot of fans, they get annoyed because it's inconsistent, like you just said. But fans are humans. I'm sorry. Referees are humans. They're humans. They're not computers. They're humans. So we oftentimes, as humans, we don't even realize our bias. We don't even realize our partial. We don't realize our perception because my perception may not be the same as yours. And I think that's what a lot of times we as humans don't realize that. And fans get annoyed by that. So obviously that may not be something that they want to hear, but that is the honest to God truth that at the end of the day, referees are fans. Referees are human. And yeah. If it's one of their favorite players, because they watch football as fans as well. If it's somebody that they've always been a fan of, you know what? Hey, they might let him go ahead and get away with a little bit. And if you're a young rookie or an unproven player and you get entangled with a star receiver, who do you think is getting that call?
Exactly. The star receiver, baby, every time. Stan, how often did you go up and talk to refs or, like you said, a side judge or back judge? Just to say hello, maybe get a little schmoozing in there to see if maybe it could help you during the game.
Oh, yeah, you definitely would always do that in pregame. You just go up, just talk to them, kind of pick their brain. And I would ask them, be like, "Hey, guys, so, you know, how do you feel about so-and-so who likes to push off a lot?" And they'll be, okay, you know what, we'll take that in consideration. You know, we'll be on the lookout for that during the game, just to go ahead and kind of get a feel. And sometimes you'll just ask them, hey, like, do you consider, you know, a tug by the jersey? Like, do you consider that me impeding his progress? Do you consider that me gaining an advantage? Do you consider that a flaggable personal pass interference type of penalty? And a lot of times they'll actually sit there and they'll talk to you. And they'll actually tell you what they view as pass interference, what they don't view as pass interference, and things like that. So you definitely want to get a feel for the referees before the game. That way you can know how to play within the confines of how they're going to officiate the game. Absolutely.
All right, Stan, final question. It's prediction time now for the Raiders and the Bears on Sunday. As you mentioned, it's a 10 a.m. start out here on the West Coast. Are the Raiders going to make it three in a row, Stan?
I hope the Raiders do, because they're going against what's all presumably a young, inexperienced quarterback, not named Justin Fields. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Raiders to win. I would say 24-17.
All right, Stan. 24 points would be a season high for the Raiders. Stan, I don't even know if the Raiders will get there. I feel like somewhere around 20. I'm thinking 20-16. I haven't picked with the Raiders very often, but I am going to go with him on Sunday. I don't care who's quarterback, and whether it's Aiden O'Connell or whether it's Brian Hoyer. I do think the Raiders have a little bit more talent than the Bears. I don't think the Bears are very good. Hopefully I'm not jinxing things, but I like the Raiders. I'll say 20-16, Stan. Okay. I like the silver and black. One more thing. Have you heard of Shepherd University, Stan?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. I'm not alone then. All right, Raider Nation, that's going to do it for this edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast, presented by BetOnline.ag. For our partner, Stanford Rout, I'm Dennis Ackerman. Thanks so much for listening, and may all your punts find the coffin corner.